Blog Talk Radio.
The Barry and Cam Show.
From sea to shining sea, and all 50 states in between, it's the Barry and Cam program right here on Blog Talk Radio, live at barryandcamshow.com. That's where you can find the program. You can find us on Twitter, at Barry and Cam Show. You can also feel free to call into the program tonight, 646-378-1892 is the telephone number, 646-378-1892. I'm Barry Gadd, boys. Cam is missing in action right now. I'm not sure what he's got going on. I'm sure it's something very important. I'm sure he's got a very good reason for not being here to do the show. But Dave Jacoby could not come up with a good excuse, so he's here. Hi, Dave.
Yeah. Hello.
How you doing?
Oh, good, good. Nice Saturday here. Good weekend.
Yeah, 7 o'clock in the east, 4 o'clock in the west. A beautiful night to do some radio. Talk about some politics, get out there and mix it up with the people. That's what we like to do. I wish we had something fun to talk about, something cool, something. It's the middle of summer, it's late July, everybody should be feeling good, but I'm not feeling good, and we're going to jump right in because this situation that started a couple of days ago when this scumbag, total scumbag, shot up a recruiting center and a naval support center in Tennessee, has killed, what we learned this morning, a fifth person died, a Navy, I know his rank in front of me, I apologize, a naval enlisted officer, an enlisted man was killed, died this morning, in addition to four Marines who were dead on Thursday after the shooting. Luckily, police down there in Chattanooga, Tennessee, were on top of the situation and managed to kill the gunman in this situation before he was able to do any more damage than he was. But it certainly has been a sad, emotional, twisted kind of few days. And it's, you know, it's, yep. Like I said, it's the middle of summer, but it's pretty hard to feel good about what's going on in the world right now.
Yeah, I think like every other day there's something new, something else to be worried about, something going on in the world that is not, you know, what we're used to. And that's the challenge. Just how do you live your life without, while you're watching all these things erode that we cherish?
Well, that's a big, there's a big, because I think part of what has started to unravel here in the last few days, it's bad enough and it's sad enough to have this kind of situation where American heroes, some of whom served multiple tours in Iraq, had seen combat, were home in Chattanooga, Tennessee, in what everybody would assume is a very safe environment, to see five American service people killed on our soil is terrible, is emotional. But then all of the things that have happened as an offshoot of that event are equally disturbing. Or disturbing in proportion to the event itself. And, there's a number of things, and we're going to dissect them one at a time here on the show. But, you know, it started with the reaction. If you were tuned in, and I happen to be listening to news radio at the time that this shooting occurred, all this talk that was coming out of sources within the federal government and reporters and media outlets was that we had a domestic terror incident, right? What's interesting about that, the first person who reported this incident, who talked to the media, they thought that the gunman was white. So the initial incorrect report was that there was a white guy driving around in a convertible, indiscriminately firing into this recruiting center. So you can imagine in certain MSM corners what a news stiffy that must have caused. They were excited. We had a homegrown terror. That's what you were hearing about. But then, as the situation calmed down and the shooting was over and people were able to dig into the facts, we realized that, you know, in fact, that wasn't the case. We did not have a white person opening fire indiscriminately on the military, just not the way that it worked out. But all of a sudden after that, the stories kind of changed just a little bit.
Yep.
All of a sudden the media, and this is, you know, particularly the mainstream media, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, in particular CNN is beside itself, because it turns out that the shooter is a Kuwait-born naturalized citizen of the United States. His name is Mohammed Yusuf Abdulaziz. So, all of a sudden that led cynical people like me to speculate that the motive behind the shooting might be religious in nature, maybe. I'm guessing that this guy's not an Irish Catholic. As it turns out, he's a follower of Islam. Now, yep. I will qualify this. I am not trying to paint. There are millions of people in the world who follow Islam. Very few of them to this point have committed this type of atrocity. However, there are usually some telltale signs. And as things start to unravel, I'm going to guess that this guy exhibited more and more of those telltale signs of someone who was radical.
Right. I think the starting point is you look at what the targets were, and then you look at his background and how devoted he was to his religion and his recent travels. And I think right away you can start putting the pieces together. The targets right away, he drove several miles between the two separate shootings, and he ended up shooting at two places that were, they were our military. He was going after our military. He wasn't just spraying random shops.
Yeah, and he obviously had a pretty good sense. These places are not exactly in the same parking lot. He had a pretty good sense of where one place was, and then he was able to very quickly get himself to the other place. So, either he's very lucky, or he had done some planning. This was a premeditated event. He had one target, and he had an alternate target. And who knows? I mean, good God, he might have had more than two targets, but luckily he was disabled before he was able to continue.
Right. But so, you're right about this backpedaling here that the media and even the leaders of the country have been doing, that we got to find out what his motives were. We can't jump to conclusions. And in a way, I understand that don't jump to conclusions right away, but I mean, I think we can head in a certain direction and come right out. And this kind of reminds me, not to get off topic, it reminds me of the pre-9/11 era where Al-Qaeda had declared war on us, and we ignored it until 9/11. Yeah. And ISIS Al-Qaeda have declared war on us as well, and we're ignoring it.
Well, all through, through the late 90s, there were terror attacks on embassies in northern Africa. There was the bombing of the USS Cole, which killed American service members. So you're right. There were a lot of these build-up events. Let me say this, and then we'll get into a couple of the topics at hand at 646-378-1892. I don't know. Maybe we'll find out as the investigation goes on, but I don't know that this guy was working at the direction of, or in cooperation with, or at the behest of ISIS. This could be just a lone nut job who went out with his motivation to kill American service members. Obviously, he had some success at that. But every one of these events that happens provides more and more information for more organized terrorists for how we deal with these things. So even if they didn't directly order this or directly support it, they benefit because they're learning more about our soft targets, our reaction to these things. These bastards are patient and calm, and they will wait years and years and years to carry out the next 9/11 while we get busy arguing about, nutritional value in school lunches and crap like that.
Right. totally. Well, I mean, but this is their MO right now. I mean, I don't believe that they would love to have a big attack, if you will, of the 9/11 size, but they realize it is harder to prevent these small, you know, lone wolves. There's a whole pack of lone wolves right now in our country who are just sitting and wait. Yeah, and so that's their new strategy behind on the war. They find it if they're spread out and they don't actually have to give them a go order, that it's really stretching our FBI out and our law enforcement department in trying to detect them, prevent it, you know, and within the realm of our court system and laws here, you know, there's a certain part of this stuff that is allowable. So they're using that against us as well, and that's their strategy.
Well, let's look at, as they're going to evaluate our reaction to this, we also are evaluating our reaction to it politically and from a law enforcement and a legal perspective. One of the things, probably the most important thing that stuck out to me this morning, as we're finding out more information about the victims of this crime, of this murder, we're finding out that there actually is another victim of this murder. One of them, by the way, from right down the road from where I grew up in Springfield, Massachusetts, a 40-year-old gunnery sergeant named Tommy Sullivan, who did two tours in Iraq only to be killed by this coward son of a bitch in Tennessee. You know, I think it always hits home a little bit more. I know one of the Marines was from Marietta, Georgia. Whenever you find out that one of your hometown heroes, one of your guys who wore the uniform proudly, served the country, served with distinction, is killed in this kind of way, it hits home even more. So for me, one of the things that I thought was natural is that the leadership in this country, not only governors, but leadership in the Defense Department, or most particularly the President of the United States, might come out and order that flags be lowered to half-mast in honor of these heroes who were gunned down on American soil. That seems like a reasonable response, and I could not believe when I got up this morning finding out that Governor Baker here in Massachusetts, Governor Abbott in Texas, Governor Jindal in Louisiana, a whole bunch of governors across the country have given the order to lower the flags. The President of the United States, the freaking President of the United States, when five service members are killed on American soil, the President of the United States is absent, does not come out and order that flags be lowered. And I, you know, I really try very hard, although I disagree with this president on almost everything politically, I try very hard not to just be an Obama hater. But his absence, the absence of taking that action, is disgusting. And he should be embarrassed. He should be embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for him.
Yep, I agree. And certainly, you know, I was looking up the criteria for lowering the flag to half staff around the nation. And the first line on the VA.gov is the easy way to remember when to fly the United States flag at half staff to consider when the whole nation is mourning. So that's when you would do it, when the whole nation is mourning. You know, certain people, when they pass on, such as former presidents, vice presidents, Supreme Court, senators, you name it, soldiers, they typically in the theater wore the states whenever they would lose a resident soldier, they would lower it. In this case, as on these Marines, it's an attack on America, and we should be in mourning. The whole country should be in mourning, and he should have ordered them lowered, no doubt about it.
He should be ashamed.
I'm glad he's ashamed
of himself.
He's not. Obviously he's not. And he's trying to, you know, be above whatever he thinks this is, some kind of knee-jerk reaction. But it's not. It's not a knee-jerk reaction to do this. This was an obvious attack on our infrastructure and our protection inside this country. It's a terrorist attack. And we are at war, whether he wants to admit it or not, we are at war, and this is the face of the war right now.
Well, you don't get to decide. When other people decide that they're at war with you, they don't wait for your consent to kill you. So I guess we can just get killed with our hands in our pockets while the president is worried about all of the other things that he's worried about. Also absent on this is the vice president, Joe Biden, who's got a long record of great support for law enforcement, for the military. You know, Democrat like Jim Webb, who's instead of talking about this, is apologizing for saying that all lives matter at the big progressive Netroots convention today. I haven't heard anybody, the Democrat, the progressive left, is totally, totally silent on this issue. And let's take it one step further. When you start talking about the government reaction to this and how these mainstream progressives are dealing with it, you can also weigh in on it, 646-378-1892. 646-378-1892. As I said, one of these Marines who died in Tennessee was born and raised in Springfield, Massachusetts. So there's a great story at masslive.com. It was written by a reporter named Connor Berry. Gives you some perspective on his family. I believe it's his brother who owns a local bar and restaurant in Springfield. They've really received a lot of support from the community. I just want to read you one paragraph from this story that also you talk about. It's just like sitting on a hat pin all day. It starts with the president not lowering the flags, which is disgusting. And then you read this at masslive.com, and I quote from Connor Berry's story. The family produced the sterile military document announcing Tommy's death, a piece of paper that didn't seem any more important than the TV guide reporting his passing matter-of-factly and without much detail. They looked at it, sipped their beers, and then tried to process what had happened. This is a Marine gunnery sergeant who served two tours in Iraq, twice awarded the Purple Heart, two times awarded the Purple Heart, gunned down by a would-be Islamic terrorist in the heartland of the United States, and the President of the United States can't be bothered. I'm
shameful.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And I can't wait. I'm waiting for some progressive, somebody to come out and defend this. The only reason that I can think of, the only reason that you would be silent on this issue is because you're giving some kind of tacit approval to what happened. And it is shameful.
Yeah, I mean, well said. It's a disgrace. I mean, this should be considered an act of war. You know, it should be treated like they were killed in action. They should be given the proper recognition for whatever that's worth. I mean, this is now the front line. It has now come to us. We waited long enough that now it's here. And it's just the beginning, and it may not seem imminent, and you know, in our mind, but we will look back to this day and say that it's when we should have. If this doesn't wake us up, something much bigger, and it's just going to be every day. It's going to be something else.
Come back.
What will it take for us to go back into the streets and demand something happen? Buildings to
go
fall down? I don't know.
If you can, go back to 9/11 in your head. I know especially progressives have trouble with perspective. But, you know, the one thing that the president said after 9/11 was that we are going to take the fight to them before they take the fight to us. Maybe this is five
right.
people. Maybe the next one will be five people. Maybe the next one will be 10. Or maybe the next one will be another 3,000. Maybe another 3,000 people, and we could lower the freaking flag. Maybe.
Well, and if you remember, I mean, they couldn't even come up with a name with it, War on Terror, because it was just this, we're fighting this idea, this radicalized idea out there that's coming from Islam, but it, like we've said, obviously most majority of Muslims do not subscribe to this, and a lot of actual Muslims who aren't as devout are victims of this radical form of Islam as well. But it's everywhere. It's flooding our country. It's flooding the world. It's flooding other countries. And this, if you can't recognize it, then you can't stop it. That's the deal.
Well, it's an interesting, that's an interesting pivot point in the conversation. 646-378-1892 is the number here on the Barry and Cam Show. You can also tweet us at Barry and Cam Show. Cameron Robbins not with us tonight. He's very busy doing other things. But you got Dave Jacoby. You got Barry Gadboys. And I am at a boil. I'm at a total boil with this thing. But we can go on and on about part of it, or we can move on, try to dissect some other things about it. So one of the more natural reactions that I had and that I've seen a lot of other people have, both on television and on social media, is how does somebody like a Marine gunnery sergeant who's wearing two Purple Hearts from Iraq on his chest have to walk around unarmed in the United States? Here I can go out and get a permit to carry a weapon in all 50 states. Some places harder than others. Anybody can do it, but here's a bunch of U.S. service men who are generally all experienced, absolutely barred from carrying a weapon. Disgraceful, disgraceful. This goes back to the first, to be fair, to the first Bush administration. This is when this started to unravel with an order from the Department of Defense. That order was reissued in 1992. And then it was reissued again by the Department of Defense in 2011. Now think again, here's this perspective issue. In 2009, there was a workplace violence incident down at Fort Hood, Texas, where 13 people got killed. 13 American service people got killed on an American military installation by somebody who was committing workplace violence. That was the official classification. Although that was really a terrorist attack where somebody took advantage of the fact that members of the military were not carrying firearms. This is in 2009. In response to that, in 2011, the Department of Defense reaffirmed, hey, this is a good thing. We should have our military men and women be sitting ducks. Another unbelievable aspect of this.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't know what the thinking behind it is. It's that, you know, do they issue them weapons when they go in? Are they bringing their own weapons in? You know, obviously Fort Hood has MPs who are armed, the military police, but that obviously didn't stop what happened in Fort Hood. It could have easily been stopped immediately, and less than in this could have and should have been stopped a lot sooner as well of these people. So I think maybe part of it is the logistics of it. And I'm just trying to understand the order. And I'm wondering if that has something to do with it, but there's, in my mind, it makes complete sense. I mean, they go through basic training, they learn how to use a firearm, and they're well-trained in that use of the firearm, and they should be able to protect themselves here and abroad.
Yeah, you would think. 646-378-1892 is a telephone number on the Barry and Cam Show. You got Jacoby, you got Barry, and we're going to go out to the phones real quick here. We're going to go out to the 508. 508, hello. 508, 508, hello.
Yes, hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
You. Yes,
oh, this sounds
from,
like a familiar
from,
voice.
Oh, you know me. It's Andrew from Rhode Island.
Yes, good evening, Andrew.
Yes, great evening.
What can we do for you
tonight,
sir?
Well, I just wanted to call and say hi. You know, I'm outside grilling, you know, like Barry was scared to do. But, you know, it's just a wonderful evening.
I was trying
to
watch NASCAR.
Say hello to you guys.
Well, hello.
Oh,
thank you for calling.
God.
You know what? A call from you lightens the mood, actually.
You know, that's why I called. You know, I assume that you guys were going to ask my opinion on of course, Chattanooga and... The only thing I can say is, you know, I'm going to censor myself that it's total BS. It was an a-hole, and it was terrorism. So what else are you going to say? I just call it to lighten up the mood because why not? You know, we don't have to dwell on that. Of course, everyone knows what happened. So let's not pretend it was anything else. But, you know, outside of that, though, grilling in America on a Saturday evening is just fantastic.
Yeah, so yeah. Let me be the probing host for just a second here. Let me ask you, what do you have on the grill?
Well, I got the hard lump wood charcoal going right now. And I'm about to put on some hard pepper, crushed red pepper, and soy sauce steak tips. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, the steak tips.
Yes, God bless America, sir.
Let me ask you a question. Are you originally from Rhode Island?
No, sir. I'm originally from Massachusetts, just outside of Boston.
Okay.
Immigrated to Rhode Island, spent a few years there, and now I'm back in Massachusetts.
Their border controls are not working very well.
No, that's real loose.
Back.
I mean, no problem.
And come back to Massachusetts.
I couldn't stay away. I work here, so.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this grilling question. Have you ever had tri-tip steak?
I can't say I have. It's intriguing, though. What is it?
It's a West Coast. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a butcher, obviously. But when I lived on the West Coast, it's like every cookout, they have this tri-tip. So I was in San Diego not that long ago, got a bunch of tri-tip at a barbecue place. It's everywhere out there, but you can't get it on the East Coast. It's like steak tips. I think it's just a little bit of a different cut. But it is, it's the way.
I mean, I guess, you know, all I could say to that is I'll tri-tip anything once. Zing!
Just go to find Andrew from Rhode Island. We have backpage.com, Andrew?
Wait, excuse me? Backpage? What?
Never mind. You know what? I tried to set you up with love once before. We're not going to go there again.
I think we're on a different page, man. Backpage, if you're talking about what I'm thinking of, I'm not interested, sir.
Maybe
oh,
I am. I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of all that. Never mind. I've stumbled into something.
I think you have.
I'm going to look up the Backpage now.
I can just sum it up for you. Right. Backpage is just it's the replacement for Craigslist hookers.
Oh.
Not that I would know from experience, but I do know what it is.
Whoops. Okay, that's not what I thought it was. I thought it was more like Adult Friend Finder or something like that.
You'll do Tinder.
I thought I called to lighten things up, man. You're getting deep. No pun intended.
Who wouldn't like to be anyway? Anyway, well, listen, Andrew, man, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for calling. Don't burn the steaks, okay?
Of course, no. Thank you, gentlemen. You know, it's nice nice talking to you. I just wanted to let Barry know that he's the man. And that's basically what I call to say. It's just to, you know, keep it up, Barry. You're the man.
Perfect. All right. Listen, Andrew, I appreciate it. The envelope with all the cash is taped to the bottom of the grill. So take your payment before you light that baby up or we'll be in trouble. We're just coming up to 7:30 on the East Coast. We're going to take a quick break here. Jacoby needs water. I need maybe a Miller Lite, something like that. We're going to take a quick break. Come right back. Barry and Cam Show, at Barry and Cam Show on Twitter, 646-378-1892.
Who might you save?
Your mother, your father, your husband, uncle, aunt, son.
Learn FAST, F-A-S-T, the sudden signs of a stroke, and you could save.
Your friend, your best friend, teacher, boss, coach.
F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. FAST, face, arm, speech, time. That's F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. The sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in the recovery of
your neighbor, the waiter, a fellow shopper, a total stranger, grandmother, grandfather.
So learn FAST, the sudden signs of a stroke, then pass it on, because you never know who might save you.
Your wife, your colleague, teammate, mother.
Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037. So he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. Something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right. But don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like a $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cold time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American...
The Barry and Cam Show.
Barry Cam Show, Barry and Jacoby back live with you here on a Saturday night, just after 7:30. Hello, David. How are you?
Good, good.
That Andrew, huh? That Andrew. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Really, really knows how to break the ice. He's doing just the tip tonight.
Yeah, just the tip. And here I am trying to apparently send him a prostitute. Whoops.
Whoops. My bad.
646-378-1892 is the telephone number on the program. 646-378-1892. You can find us at Barry and Cam Show, barryandcamshow.com. Two very easy places. You can also find me at Barry Gadboys on Twitter, GADBOIS, as in Sierra. David, are you on Twitter?
No. Carlin the dog, but he doesn't tweet.
Oh, he's very quiet. Well, let's pick up this conversation, because we were talking before we were interrupted by Andrew and his levity. We were talking about this situation that unfolded in Chattanooga on Thursday, and the fact that a lot of people, like me, are baffled by the fact that at least some military personnel, I mean, we're talking about senior NCOs, people with combat medals, awards for valor, that these people would not be allowed to carry a firearm while they're wearing the uniform is insane to me. There's no other way to describe it. That's insane.
Yeah.
So what do you
think,
Dave?
I think they obviously have to come up with they got to reverse the order first. I believe that they should allow the soldiers to be able to carry a sidearm. They need to come up with a structure and a way to do it, obviously, and that's something down the line, getting back into the logistics. I don't know if they can take their service weapon off the base, but it just seems to me that the guy working in the pizza shop down there next to the recruiting office was able to have a concealed carry inside the pizza shop where he works, and all the people inside the recruiting place could not. It just doesn't make sense to me. So they're obviously targets. We've had these alerts for a while that people in military uniforms are going to be targeted. We saw it in London, and to me they're sitting ducks, and we're doing them an injustice by not allowing them to have some way to protect themselves.
Well, and it's not just military uniforms, too, because we saw right here in Boston this lunatic who the Boston police and the FBI killed a couple of weeks ago. His plan was to go out and behead a police officer. We've seen attacks against the NYPD. Officer in Louisiana was randomly targeted. We don't know what the motivation of that particular attack was, but so uniform people are a target. Now, before you think that the military command hasn't taken any action to address this issue, we should be fair. And we should point out that there has been some action taken at the Marine Corps Recruiting Command. Have you heard about this yet, Dave, or is this news to you?
News to me.
Okay. So here's the news. 8:32 last night, 17 July, Luis Martinez, who's a digital reporter for ABC, tweeted the following. Marine Corps Recruiting Command has instructed Marine recruiters to not wear their uniforms at work, part of force protection since Chattanooga.
Oh,
let me repeat, that's part of the force protection strategy since Chattanooga.
Don't wear a uniform. Great. Problem solved. Great.
Can you imagine the size of the balls on some bureaucrat? They must have a big overhead door at the Marine Corps Recruiting Command that they can raise up so that some gutless, belly-crawling bureaucrat can drag his giant progressive balls in there and tell Marines that they should not wear their uniform in public. Marines who are wearing combat decorations, Purple Hearts, Medals of Valor, Marines who left comrades, brothers in arms, dead overseas, Marines who have served this country proudly are being told to hide from their uniform? What planet am I on? That's the action of the day.
Yeah, it's the mentality that objects make other people do things. A flag makes someone do things. A uniform, is offensive and an obvious target for to make someone else do something bad. It's just insane. And like I said, if you don't actually identify what the problem is, then we're not going to be able to defeat it.
I feel bad. Man, I feel bad for people who are in the military now, who have absolutely given their blood, sweat, and tears to this, the service of this country, and they sure as hell don't do it for a lot of pay. They don't do it because it's an easy life for them or for their families. Serving in the military right now with the kind of gutless people who are up the chain above you, I feel bad. There's no other way to express it. I can't imagine a time when a commander-in-chief or somebody who, look, when the head of the Marine Corps Recruiting Command gives an order, he's obviously speaking for the chain of command. So anybody above him is being spoken for and can certainly supersede this and say, that's crazy. We want our Marines, our Navy, our Air Force, our Army, our Coast Guard, our National Guardsmen, they should be wearing their uniforms, they should be wearing them proudly, and they should be recognized by the society that they serve for the service that they give. So anybody up the chain could countermand this gutless, weaselly order. I would not hold my breath waiting for that to happen.
No, this just, I don't know what else to add to that.
Maybe I should go out and grill with Andrew.
Yeah, he's getting pretty worked up here. A lot of things that we have no control over. I mean, it's going to take a movement here at the local level, all the way up to the state and national level, of us to change how we do things. If we just sit back and we just kind of complain about it and move on, there's gotta be some backlash. And I'm not saying anything organized or anything. It's just you're just gonna get upset and do what we can do to change the way our country acts. And I just don't see it. I don't see enough people who are as outraged. I mean, they're upset, they're sad, but of what is happening and how to stop it. I don't know how to stop
it. I just don't understand, because the lack of passion and the lack of conviction that we're seeing from the president right down through a whole bunch of other people who are in leadership positions in this country is telling. In the face of a shooting a few weeks ago, a tragic, terrible shooting in Charleston, South Carolina, that was committed by another cowardly little weasel driven by his twisted little sick ideology, who unfortunately survived his episode. The reaction from the president was decisive. It was clear. I don't necessarily agree that it was time to purge the Confederate flag or purge any references to the Confederacy. But I do agree that in places in this country where you have pockets of people, and you saw some of these wackos today in South Carolina, the KKK decided to come out and have a rally. I think we've got to deal with those people. We've got to deal with them head on. And we've got to let them know that their brand of hate has no place in this society. But the same thing is true for these Islamic radical terrorists, and the lack of passion and the lack of conviction to say it is amazing. imagine for a second if the if this shooting that happened in the Heartland the other day had been a white person who randomly targeted black people, because this is what we had. We had a person who's sick and demented who targeted people specifically from a certain class, targeted people for a specific prejudicial reason and killed them. It's outrageous. Mm-hmm. It's as outrageous as any other type of prejudicial killing that results from radicalism. And the fact that the progressives in our society don't see it that way, it's a bad sign. It's a very bad sign for the future of this country.
Yeah, and you know, Carolina, everyone knew by looking at the target and the perpetrator what the motive was. There was no hemming and hawing and looking for explanations and waiting. You know, I mean, everyone agreed right away what his motivations were, and everyone was outraged. And this is, it's very interesting to me to see the media and the leaders tiptoe around this one. It couldn't be more obvious, you know, him selecting the two separate targets and actually having to drive a 10-minute drive to get the second one, you know, what this was. And they still really are tiptoeing around it.
Well, listen, I'm not advocating witch hunts. I'm not advocating internment.
Right.
I'm not advocating that people don't have the right to be protected by the Constitution in this country. But if somebody like Dylann Roof, and I still believe there were people close to Dylann Roof who knew that he was unstable and who knew that he had gone out and gotten a weapon. So you've got the right to say whatever you want. You got the right to hate white people. You got the right to hate black people, Jews, Muslims, Catholics, comedians, mimes, whatever pisses you off. You got a right to dislike people and you got a right to talk bad about them. But the minute that you signal your intent to put something into action and harm other people, and you signal that you're working on developing the means to do it, or God forbid that you have developed the means to do it, that's when you put yourself outside the law, in my book. And I think, I don't understand how, you know, I don't know what the Roof family went through. Obviously, the authorities were engaged with them very quickly. I don't know what this guy's family in Chattanooga necessarily went through, but I would be fine with law enforcement in any of these cases, absolutely coming down on family members, friends, associates, going through and figuring out who knew. And if you knew and you had the indifference, depraved indifference, to let something like this happen, they should make an example out of you.
Oh, yeah, you absolutely have the obligation to report anything like that. There's no doubt about it. That's to prevent any sort of attack or injury, that's everyone's obligated to do that. If you know, even down to the simplest, if you know someone's too drunk to drive or whatever, and you don't try to stop them from getting in the car, you know, that's on your conscience. But it's also, you know, it's the same thing. If they get hurt or hurt someone else, that's on you. You should have done something. You should have, you know, that's part of being in a society, you know, and that's what we're losing, this our society. We're losing that, the whole thing that holds us together and common decency. And it's, you know, it's part of where we are in the age of technology and all of that. It's our society is unraveled. Our culture is unraveling.
We're coming to the point where we actually as a society don't know that, you know, if our neighbor is out of work and needs help, we don't know that we should give him money. We just assume it's the government. The government's the entity to take care of that. If our neighbor's house is on fire, hey, whoa, that's not our problem. The government takes care of that. We live in this freaking progressive bubble where we believe that the only responsibility that we have to our fellow man is fulfilled by some dumbasses in Washington or in our state capital. We believe that we have no responsibility outside of ourselves until the government comes along and tells us which way to march.
Yeah, I agree. That's Again, I really don't have much to add to that.
I like this show. This is where I just go, hey, yeah. Round
I agree
one,
with
yeah,
Barry.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I'm really tried. I don't know. I'm not happy today. Really not happy.
Well, I can tell. I mean, everyone has to. You certainly have your the right to be upset. Everyone should be upset as you. And, you know, the fact that I don't see this outrage or call for action, it's sad. This should bring the country together.
There's nothing. Now, not that I don't want to take this any deeper into misery than it already is, but I did see the very talented and lovely Karen Swenson earlier had shared an AP report. She's an anchor down in New Orleans. Shared an AP report that the assailant in this Chattanooga shooting worked for about a week and a half at a nuclear power plant in Ohio. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that. I mean, that was unbelievable. I mean, you got to wonder if there was something, a bigger plan. And when and I don't know if, I don't want to get too deep, but if when he got fired, you know, he was their pay guest, and they said, you're not good enough or whatever their reason for getting rid of him. I wonder if that was the trigger to say, well, I'm going to have to do something a little more, you know, easier, if you will, something a little more smaller scale than to get deep into this nuclear power plant and try to do something there. Who knows? But that's a concern. I mean, someone with the mindset that I believe he had in what he displayed in Tennessee, if he had done that in a nuclear power plant, different. We're talking about a whole different story here. And it's scary to think that there may be others out there slowly, you know, winding their way into our infrastructure under the radar, you know, not being loud on social media, just going through getting the engineering degree, doing this, going through the system, getting in their spot, and then once they're in deep, doing what they want to do, carry out whatever their plans are. That is frightening.
Well, and I don't want to turn this into the W worship show either, but one of the things that he said and that people in the previous administration used to say is that, you know, terrorists, they have to be right one time out of however many tries at harming the country to devastate us. We have to be right, law enforcement, the military, Homeland Security, they have to be right 100% of the time. If they're wrong once, they lose. And I don't see that mentality. If there are other people who are as accessible to the radical ideology that this guy was, who are at the controls of a nuclear power plant, who are airline pilots, I don't know what the possibilities are, and I don't want to explore them, but they're not good. And you know, that's part of the danger of living in a free society, is that obviously we let everybody in. We let people from all stripes and colors and persuasions in, and it makes our society healthier, but it also makes us more vulnerable. And I certainly hope that people whoever it is, Homer Simpson, wherever, doing the hiring plant, the hiring at the nuclear power plant, maybe paying a little bit more attention after this to what the disposition of his applicants are. And it's not a race thing, by the way. I don't want to turn this into a race thing, because there are certainly plenty of people of different colors who would love to do harm to this country, and certainly one of those colors is white. We get a lot of white racists in this country. We have some white people who from this country or from England run off and join ISIS. So it's not as simple as just picking out where this guy's from or where that woman is from or whatever. This is a very insidious thing. And I think we gotta work at getting people back into that 9/11 mindset, where we have to live in fear, but we probably don't want to live with our head up our ass all the time either.
Yeah, don't be just looking at the ground when you're walking. You know who's around you, know your neighbors, get to know them, and I think that's where our society and culture is breaking down, is that we're not getting to know each other well, because when you do, then you know when someone who, you know, by all accounts, this guy throughout high school was friendly, and then something happened. He went overseas a few times, and then he cut himself off from all of his friends. He, you know, there were signs out there that people could have seen. And you know, I'm not saying if someone befriends you on Facebook, you call the FBI, but you know what I mean. You know, you should be talking with your neighbors, talking with your friends, engaging. And I'm not saying, and you should have friends that you disagree with too. You know, I think Barry and I and most of us, most of our friends disagree with us. You know, and they we're still friends.
That's
but
fair.
I mean, that's part of our part in this, in keeping our culture and our country safe, is being engaged in our communities with people we disagree with people we do agree with, but being friendly and just being a, you know, just be a genuinely good person. That's what it is. And we're losing that. And as part of it is, I think this social media culture that we do have, it's just driving us away from talking to each other.
646-378-1892 is the telephone number to talk to us. I'll tell you the other thing that, I don't want to turn this into like, this is going to turn into like prepper radio pretty soon. That's what it's going to be. But, you know, since these last few years, as incidents like this unravel, I'm telling you, when you are in a movie theater or a shopping mall or wherever you are, keep your head on a swivel. That's just my advice, just a little piece of free advice. But watch the people around you. Watch what they're doing. There are clearly people among us in this society who want to do us harm. So as Dave said, I don't think it's a good idea to be looking at the ground while you're walking around. Be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah, I mean, I could say last weekend I was at a concert, and I knew something was going on wrong, and I was right. I was just wasn't quick enough on it. And, I immediately engaged, and I went after, but I was just a little too late. So be aware of what's around you.
Did you feel like you had good awareness of your surroundings?
I did. I knew something was wrong. There was this, I don't want to get too into this story, but there was this person behind me during the concert who was acting very odd. And I knew at a moment, I knew something had happened, and I checked, and I was absolutely right. My wallet was gone. And she was gone, and I topped the rails and took pursuit. And unfortunately, I just didn't get there in enough time to stop it. But that's all right. You know,
now, Cam,
is Cam on?
No, I wish he was. I was going to say he's not here because he could certainly lend a little bit of perspective. Because we were at the Darius Rucker show last week. That's the concert, and. You know, we were, I don't want to say that we were overserved, but we served ourselves pretty well, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. It was a hot day, too, so that probably played into it.
You got to keep drinking those Miller Lights. You got to hold off the dehydration. So you got to keep drinking. It's dicey, dicey out there in the heat.
Yep.
So you were not feeling any pain, right?
No.
I was.
No, no.
Yeah. How's the mission to recover your, because you lost your wallet. Well, you didn't lose it. It got stolen.
Yeah, it got stolen. It was stolen.
So how's the putting your life back together? How's that going?
Okay. You know, I mean, it's another thing. It's typically not typical of me to bring my whole wallet into something like this. So that's another thing. I let my guard down on that aspect too. But, you know, I had several licenses in there, you know, firearms licenses and driver's licenses, obviously a lot of credit cards. I now have my driver's license back. I got that yesterday. And I got, I'm waiting on two credit cards still. So I got the majority of the credit cards coming. I got, and I'm not trying to push the Discover card, the Discovery, but they had one to me the next day. They were the quickest ones because they know every day I don't have that card in my wallet, I'm not spending. And I like to use that card a lot. For the point.
You're listening to the
Barry
and Cam Show, brought to you by Discover Card.
I got to tell you, their customer service is amazing out of all of them. I really am not trying to, but, you know, I got a few of the Bank of America ones. They were the slowest so far. Citibank is the final one I'm waiting on. My driver's license, but my my firearms licenses, I'm waiting for the state one. I'll have to pick that up once at the police station when it comes in. And I have a Connecticut one and a New Hampshire one. New Hampshire will mail me one in 2 weeks, and Connecticut, I have to make a special little trip down to Connecticut to get that one again. So thank you. But there's, you know, in future, you know, and before, you know, sometimes when I go to these large events where this could happen, I'm not bringing my firearms. I shouldn't have those licenses in my wallet. I should take them out. I usually do take them out. Those are the hardest to replace. But
well, maybe now
that
you're a big country music fan, maybe you adopt the wallet chain. What do you think about that?
I'm definitely thinking of the wallet chain, or I was thinking of no wallet and just the rubber band to keep my cards together in my front pocket. You know, slim it up a little bit. Thinking of that.
Okay. Hey, listen, I got to ask
maybe
you.
Maybe I'll do a what do they call that? A ringer wallet in my back, and I'll just have
there
a wallet
go.
Full of nothing in it. So.
Yeah, die pack.
Yeah.
Listen,
when they open it up.
Real quick, I want to get your take on, because we got like about 3 minutes left in the show. Did you hear about Trump today?
I heard something about the McCain. He doesn't like people who get caught in war.
He said his brand of war hero basically is the kind that didn't get caught.
Yeah, you know, that's low. That's very low. And, you know, but that's Trump's style. He's brash. And McCain started this by going after him on his immigration stance. And McCain's been very vocal and critical of Trump. So Trump takes it right to, is always very personal when he comes back at you, and he was very personal with McCain, inappropriate. Not only was it inappropriate to McCain, but for all those people who have been POWs in any conflict. The Marines were some of the first POWs we ever had over in Tripoli, and it's inappropriate. He never should have said it, but that's who he is. And you know, I don't know how much time you want to spend on something like that.
I think it's good. I think this is what everybody's been waiting for. This is the beginning of the end of the flame out, because he's going to have pissed off the wrong audience with this one. He's going to have teed off the people who were the core of his poll numbers and support, I think.
I agree, too. I would never supported Trump. Cruz is my guy. But I did like him, you know, being brash about our immigration problem. I certainly could have said it differently, but he has gotten the debate out there, and people are realizing that is a huge issue for us and our security of our country. He didn't do it in the right way, and this will probably flame him out, hopefully, in the next week or so, the next polls, and then hopefully he will just go away and let it dwindle down to the 28 other people running.
All right, one quick final thought here. We got just over a minute left. That's the end of Trump. We agree on that. I just saw a tweet a little while ago from WFAA out of Dallas, where a child has died from being left in a hot car. So the last part of this show is a public service message from Barry and Jacoby. If you're stupid, if you're a total freaking moron, and you don't realize how hot it is in the United States in the middle of summer, turn in your kids before you kill them. How stupid do you have to be to leave kids or dogs or any other living thing locked in a car in the middle of summer, moron? Be careful. Be careful out there. Yeah, okay. You got a final thought? You got 20 seconds.
Be kind. Can we all just get along?
Jacoby wants to know, can we all just get along? BarryandCamShow.com. That's the website where you can find the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at BarryandCamShow. We'll be back. We're going to try to make this a little more regular thing. We've been lazy. Barry, Cam, Jacoby, we miss you too.
experience.